This podcast episode is presented by TÜV SÜD, your partner for hydrogen safety and efficiency. Over the past decades, we have supported a large number of successful hydrogen projects and have built up industry-leading expertise. Our ecosystem helps you master the complex challenges of the hydrogen market.
Welcome back to the Hydrogen Bar. We are happy that you have tuned in for today's episode once again. And of course, as always, I would first like to welcome Johannes. Johannes, hello.
Hello.
Nice that you are here once again.
Yeah, hello, Martin. Yeah, happy to see you again here at our International Hydrogen Bar and again at an episode sponsored by TÜV SÜD. And for this, we are very happy that we have a guest here and at our bar from TÜV SÜD coming to us today is Paula Auersaupe. Hello, Paula.
Hello, Paula. Nice that you have found the time. Hi.
Hello, Martin and Johannes. First of all, I would like to thank you for the invitation. And I like to say that I feel very honored to be here when I have a look at all the other guests that already spoke here. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
We have heard that a couple of times from our guests that they are honored. So if a few more guests will say that, we finally might even believe it. but thank you for coming anyways.
The honor is also on our side.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Johannes was just saying, you are also a part of TÜV SÜD, and you're working in a very, very interesting field at TÜV SÜD. You are doing very interesting things, if I may say. But as always, I first would like to ask you whether you could introduce yourself in a couple of sentences for our listeners. That would be nice.
Yes, of course. So my name is Paula Auersaupe. I'm responsible for the certification of climate protection certification at TÜV SÜD Industrie Service Division. That is a colorful bouquet of services which reach from the verification of carbon footprints, the certification of climate neutrality, until energy efficiency measurements within the industry. And here, hydrogen, especially green hydrogen, plays a significant role. In my role, I talk to clients to find out how TÜV SÜD can support them on their decarbonization pathway. And there are a lot of regulatory changes happening at the moment. And it is, as you said, Martin, a very interesting field where I'm sure that we will see a lot of innovations and new services coming up.
That is super interesting. Maybe as not all of our listeners are so aware about the certification topic, can you give us a short introduction how such a certification works? What needs to be done? What is kind of the secret sauce to this?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Usually, for every certification, we need a standard according to which we would like to certify. For this podcast, I think the CMS 70 standard on green hydrogen will be most interesting. So we identified our standard. We want to talk about CMS 70. And usually there is an initial talk with the customer about the plant that he wants to certify. We are sending him or he something like a checklist of documents we would need to see during the audit. So the client can actually prepare for our visit. And then we are scheduling an on-site visit, because for us it's important that we get the connection between the documents we are verifying and the actual situation on-site, so that we are really tracking what's happening on-site.
You mentioned the standard CMS 70, which is, if I understood correctly, a standard which was created by TÜV Süd for certifying hydrogen and especially green hydrogen. Mm-hmm. What is the reason for doing that? What is the background? Why would I need to certify the hydrogen that I have produced, especially if it's green hydrogen?
Mm-hmm. Actually, our aim is to bring transparency into the system. So everybody can say that the hydrogen is green, as it has usually no color. So we are bringing the confirmation to the client and to his suppliers that the molecule is produced from renewable energies, which is getting more and more important as the industry wants to get decarbonized, and green hydrogen has a much lower CO2 footprint than gray hydrogen, for example.
You mentioned the CMS 70, as Martin just said. In our previous discussion, you said that there's a new overhaul of the standard was coming out last year, and the initial version was already from 2011, which is, to be honest, quite a long time ago. Like, I don't know if so many people were talking about green hydrogen in 2010. So, I mean, on the one hand, do you know what made TÜV Süd go into this so early? And then could you also say a little bit like it, kind of what was the initial version and what really changed now in the last year?
Yeah, sure. You're right. We are working in the field of green hydrogen certification since the early beginning. The starting came from a client, actually. They were looking to actually put a value on their green hydrogen that was produced as a byproduct. So they were actually having it, and they were looking for a possibility to value it.
Right.
In that regard, we created the TÜV Süd Green Hydrogen Standard with an initial client already. Mm-hmm. And since 2011, also the regulations changed, and green hydrogen came into focus more and more, which is why we frequently adapted our standards to the actual regulations. So I think last year was the third or fifth revision of the standard, and this new version, we have introduced two levels of certification. We have now a basic certification, green hydrogen basic, and green hydrogen plus certification, which includes additional criteria.
So CMS 70 and all these rules that you mentioned regarding green hydrogen basic and green hydrogen plus, CMS 70 is, as far as I can imagine, of course, not the only standard in the world which deals with green hydrogen. So at least I know that there is a European project which is called Certify, and I strongly believe, or I bet that if we would have a look into countries like China or North America or Middle East or whatever, there are also activities are going on around green hydrogen. What do you think? What is the position of CMS 70, especially when it is compared to the Certify project on the European level. Mm-hmm. And do you think that these are two sets of regulations, sets of rules would interfere in a certain way, or are they harmonized in a more or less perfect way?
Certify is a project that was initiated around 10 years ago with the idea to really define what do we understand under green hydrogen and how do we want to implement criteria to certify it. Project participants are, for example, Ludwig Bölko Systemtechnik, Grexel, of course, TÜV Süd, and the Association of Independent Bodies, just to name a few of them. Now the project is in stage three, which is really the implementation phase, and the first projects are going to be certified according to that standard. And one of the reasons why we updated our standard CMS 70 was to implement two levels of certification, a basic certification and a green hydrogen plus certification with additional criteria. And the idea is that the TÜV Süd green hydrogen basic certification is in line with the Certify criteria, so that the Certify scheme can be treated from one guarantee of origin registry to another, and the quality TÜV Süd can be put on that Certify scheme as an earmark. That is also how we do it with the electricity, with the certification of green electricity. There TÜV Süd Generation EE can also be put as an additional information on the guarantee of origin. Martin, you mentioned that there are other standards existing as well. You're right. For example, China has its own Chinese green hydrogen standard. From my knowledge, at the moment, as we are speaking, the most popular standards are the CMS 70, Certify, and ISCC, which also allows certification for green hydrogen.
When we have this certified hydrogen, basically, as I understood now from your kind of first or in the beginning of the podcast here, you said basically the production facilities are visited, are audited, they are checked if they kind of bring out the green hydrogen, and then the product that is produced there gets the certification. Mm-hmm. What happens then afterwards in this whole process? Like, how is this certification then really used?
So the you are right. The idea is that the production site is visited and can actually be accepted under as a producing green hydrogen site, and then it can be registered in the hydrogen register and can start producing the green hydrogen. And then an independent certifier like TÜV Süd comes in again, verifying the actual green hydrogen produced. So so the first step is the production site needs to be accepted, and then the real hydrogen produced needs to be verified according to our standard. And then the certificates can be internationally traded. There are two different approaches. The Certify approach uses the book and claim system, where the physical hydrogen can be separated from the attribute green. So you actually have two ways of two value ways. The physical hydrogen can be sold, and the value green can be sold also to another company. Mm-hmm. But at the end, when an end consumer decides here myself, I want to have 100% hydrogen coming from renewable sources, mm-hmm. Then the guarantee of origins are cancelled in the registry and put together with the physical hydrogen again. Mm-hmm. So that there is no double counting mm-hmm. of the CO2 reduced hydrogen.
So just to understand this correctly, this would not mean that I would have the option or the possibility to greenwash hydrogen which was produced not from renewable energy, right? So you just said that the actual hydrogen gas and the certificate are two different things, and that they can be traded separately. Would that mean that I would have the option as a producer, for example, gray hydrogen, to purchase a green hydrogen certificates and then make my hydrogen green in a certain way?
That's how the book and claim approach functions. You separate the physical hydrogen, which has no information on the source, mm-hmm. and the actual information on the value of the guarantee of origin. It just facilitates the way of treating the gas. Mm-hmm. And if you pay for the guarantee of origin, which is the green attribute, mm-hmm. you can put it onto the physical on the physical hydrogen again.
Mm-hmm. Is it then necessary that there is a kind of physical connection between the producer and the kind of user who buys the certificate? Or would it be possible that, I don't know, somebody produces green hydrogen in America and then trades the certificate to Europe? And then basically there is no possibility at all that the hydrogen kind of comes to Europe? Or is this really locally somehow restricted?
What is also important for the green hydrogen certification is the CO2 footprint of the hydrogen. Mm-hmm. And there are certain criteria how big the CO2 footprint can be. Mm-hmm. And if you transport, the emissions from transportations are included in the Green Hydrogen Plus certification. Right. So if you transport hydrogen from America to Germany, the emissions from the transport needs to be included as well. Mm-hmm. And if you manage to keep the threshold from America to Germany, you could it could be possible, but it's quite difficult with the techniques we have at the moment.
I just want to come briefly back to a topic that we've touched a little earlier, but we kind of flew over it earlier. You mentioned that there are two levels of a hydrogen certification. You mentioned a green hydrogen basic and green hydrogen plus, if I'm not mistaken. Can you explain what is the difference between the two and how and if they are linked to other regulations and rules like Certify?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let me start with the criteria for green hydrogen basic and then hop to green hydrogen plus.
Yeah, sure.
So, of course, for green hydrogen basic, the sources needs to be renewable. 100% renewable. GHG emissions of the productions are not set to zero except for wind, hydro, and photovoltaic. And then there is a GHG reduction minimum of 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And the balancing needs to be done from cradle to gate. That means mm-hmm. excluding the transport emissions.
So where would these 30% are greenhouse gas emissions that would be allowed come from if they would not come from transport? So would it be allowed to add a certain share of gray hydrogen and still get the certification?
So the source needs to be 100% from renewables.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And from cradle to gate, it needs to be shown that there's at least 70% CO2 reduction compared to fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And the potential production technologies are, of course, the electrolysis from of water using mm-hmm. electricity from renewable energy sources,
mm-hmm.
then steam reforming of biomethane,
right.
pyrolysis of solid biomass or biogenetic content of waste and residuals, and then electrolysis of hydrogen chloride solutions,
mm-hmm.
And sodium chloride solutions using electricity from renewable sources. So these are the technologies that are allowed under Green Hydrogen Basic.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where the remaining greenhouse gas emissions would come from, right? Because you mentioned that the certification requires a reduction by 70%, but of course not by 100%. So there is a certain amount of greenhouse gas emissions allowed.
Exactly. Because when you have a look at the biomass process, when really biomass is the input material and hydrogen is the output, you have several conversions mm-hmm. in the process, and for all these conversions you need energy.
Yeah.
So at the moment it's really difficult to reduce the emissions to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where the CO2 is coming mm-hmm. from. Yeah.
Is there also the CO2 footprint of the machinery then considered, or is this left out because it's getting then too complicated?
It's really the CO2 footprint of the carbon of the hydrogen mm-hmm. that is considered. Mm-hmm. But there you really look at the whole supply line, no?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole process of producing the hydrogen.
Mm. Okay.
So if Green Hydrogen Basic reduces GHG emissions by 70%, I can imagine that a green hydrogen plus would mean somewhat more. Is that right?
There are additional requirements here. You're absolutely right. But they are focusing on the really on the production. When Green Hydrogen Basic does not include the emission from transport, Green Hydrogen Plus really uses the system boundaries until the downstream consumer. So there are more emissions considered. For Green Hydrogen Plus, the Renewable Energy Directive 2 has been considered.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we said a power plant delivering renewable electricity needs to be maximum 1 year older than the electrolyzer.
Uh-huh.
That means we are really focusing on new renewable plants so that the hydrogen is not produced by renewable energy that is already in the system, but really the enlargement of the green electricity footprint in the country needs to be focused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one important criteria. And then we say that renewable electricity, which already gets production support, is not accepted for green hydrogen plus. That mm-hmm. means a plant that would benefit from the EEG could not be used for the production of green hydrogen plus, mm-hmm. as it already benefits from a support. So that is a criteria. And then we have a criteria called temporal correlation. Mm-hmm. And there we are checking that the generation of renewable electricity takes really place at the same time as the electricity consumption for the production of the renewable hydrogen.
Right.
So that that no baseline electricity can be used for the for the production of hydrogen. All exactly. Right. And then we also have a criteria called local correlation, where we say that between the electrolyzer and the renewable electricity production plant, there should be no grid congestion in the electricity grid. So it's quite ambitious. Green Hydrogen Plus is really a very qualitatively high standard.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to then kind of get such a certification? I guess it's mm-hmm. quite complex to work this all through.
Usually when we get the contract, then the initial meeting takes place, and then the on-site audit. When we get all the information that we need for our final report, a certification can be closed within 3 months. Mm-hmm. So it's always depending on the information and sources we get.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very interesting.
Thank you very much for coming, Paula. Thank you very much for having
super
the time.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was once again very interesting. Maybe as a final word or a few final sentences, can you tell our listeners how they can reach you or how they can get information regarding green hydrogen certification?
Sure. You can find me via LinkedIn, Paula Auersauper at TÜV Süd. And if you drop me a message, I'm happy to answer you.
Thank you very much, Paula.
Thank you also from my side. It was a pleasure having a drink at the Hydrogen Plus.
We always say we have a drink, but of course we have to be honest. So it's still quite early in the morning here in Germany, but at least it's afternoon in Shanghai, right?
Yeah. Slowly getting there.
Yeah.
With that, we also thank TÜV Süd for the support. And if you have any questions, any comments, any remarks, feel free to reach out to us. We have our contact form on our website, hydrogenbar.net. Any other points, Martin?
Just check the website, use the contact form if you want to get in contact, as Johannes was just saying. And otherwise, we'd be happy, of course, if you would tune in next Wednesday once again, and we'll hear each other soon. Goodbye.
Yeah. Have a nice week ahead. Bye.